I was looking at aerial images of Gaza before and after. The sheer destruction. The tragedy, the losses, all so senseless. Such a waste. Not to mention the shattered lives. And you think to yourself, what's the root of it all? Why? Who needed this? And it made me aware of the tremendous, potent power of hatred. It all began with hatred. Atrocities perpetrated against innocent men, women, and children on October 7th with such hatred, celebrating the mutilation, the humiliation of other people. And you suddenly see before your very eyes how destructive, how utterly destructive hatred is when it takes over and consumes a person or a group of people. It can do the worst possible things, worse than any fire, worse than any weapon. Hatred. And of course, this teaches us how to avoid hatred, but also, and above all, how to embrace love. So please join me in this relevant discussion about how hatred consumes and destroys. Sometimes it's critical to go into the heart of darkness, into the abyss, to see how bad things are in order to learn how to counter those destructive forces. Hi, this is Simon Jacobson, and we'll be speaking about how hatred consumes and destroys. This program is dedicated by Zinaida Nagit in memory of Gerardo Valerio Nagit. The war in Gaza has so many subplots and so many angles. Not to sound cerebral or academic about tragedy, but there's so many lessons we can learn from it. I was watching aerial images taken of Gaza, what it looked like before October 7th, and what it looks like today. Tremendous amount of destruction. Now you may think I'm going here to accuse Israel. No, the exact opposite. When you see this amount of destruction, you wonder, what's the rationale? It's so senseless, such a waste. Yes, 2 million people living there. And then it comes to you. This is the consequence of unadulterated, pure hatred. When hatred takes over and consumes a person, an individual, or a group, it can do worse than any cancer, any disease, wreaking terrible devastation. To say it's not rational is an understatement. It creates complete insanity. And that's what happened. When you look at this, when you look at the images and the story from eyewitnesses and from the cameras of what happened October 7th, there's only one word you can use: absolute hatred of a people against innocent men, women, children, simply because they're Jewish. Yeah, we saw it in Nazi Europe as well. And once there's that hatred, it doesn't have to make sense. The atrocities that were perpetrated, and the way they were perpetrated, with the celebration, the sadism, the mutilation, all points to a tremendous hatred in someone's soul against human beings, innocent human beings. There's no justification for that. You can have grievances, you can have many complaints, but that hatred is the key. And that in turn, to the extent that you're ready to allow your own people in the Gaza Strip to be so devastated simply because you needed to express that hatred without thinking of consequences, without thinking about your own men, women, and children. So when I look at the devastation, I see the product of hatred. And it teaches us what hatred can do to the human being, to the human soul, both individually and collectively. What it does is, literally, like a demonic force that possesses you. Hatred is compared to fire. When a fiery passion consumes you, there's nothing that can stop it. You'll do all kinds of things, even to hurt yourself and your own family. I mean, a far more subtle level. It always, I don't know the word intrigue is the right word, but it always bewildered me, I would say. And you see people in litigation spending enormous amounts of money on attorneys simply to get even with someone else, to win. It's not about justice, about right and wrong. It's about vengeance, about hatred. And some attorneys get very wealthy from those type of emotions. Same idea. It can go for months. It can go for years. The senselessness of it. And that is without necessarily shedding actual blood. But when you see what we're seeing now, then it really takes it to a completely different level. So this is a study of the human condition, of looking into the heart of darkness, into the abyss of what happens when a person gets consumed with hate. When they're born with it, and it's cultivated and nurtured, that there's a people or an individual that you should hate. What it ends up doing most of all is not just destroying others, destroying yourself. Destroying your soul. Now, by contrast, what is the diametric opposite of hate is love. Hate can teach us more about love than love can at times. Because what does love do? The exact opposite. It's nurturing. It's validating. It brings out the best within us and within others. Hatred destroys. It breaks things apart. Beginning with your own inner self when you hate another. Love connects, unites, fuses, synergizes. So, of course, the antidote to hate is love. But it's not so simple. When a person is in the throes of something they really hate, you can't just say to them, hey, because they don't see a problem. They think it's justified. They think whatever it is they think, or they don't think. But for us that are watching it, what it teaches us is to embrace each other, to embrace our loved ones with even more passion than ever before. That's what destruction shows us, how to build. So that's the first lesson. The lesson of what hatred can do, like a cancer, how it consumes, literally eats you up and causes you to do things without considering any of the implications and consequences. Lesson number two is those of us that witness it need to counter it with even more powerful love. And it's not always that simple. Because when you've been a victim, when you've been subject to hatred, and you've been hurt by people who've hated you, the temptation is to fight fire with fire, tit for tat. So it requires actually digging deeper into our spirits to realize that we do not want to be defined by other people's hatred. I am not going to become defined by someone who hates me. I will be defined by those that love me. I will be defined by my higher purpose, my divine being, my divine self. But that takes work. That takes effort. That takes a certain composure. And it's actually what made the Jewish people such a great people, because that's what happened. Even when they were victims, they were subject to the hatred of the different host nations and empires throughout history. What it did was it taught them about love. It taught them that the biggest mitzvah, the biggest commandment in the Torah, in the Bible, is love your fellow as yourself. Precisely because you see the destructive power of hatred. Now, for those of us that have never experienced such type of demonic hate, it's very hard for us to imagine. It's almost unbelievable, actually. Which is only a testimony to the goodness in someone's heart. It's hard for you to imagine someone else doing something that you yourself could never bring yourself to do. You know, we all have things that we may be able to imagine that we can transgress. God forbid. But we all have things that, you know, the right conditions, we may not always be perfect. But there are things that are completely off the reservation. You can't even imagine it. You know, certain forms of abuse. I don't want to get graphic here, but certain things that you hear about a parent doing to a child, a loved one to another loved one. And you say, what's the matter with this person? It's not a matter of giving into a temptation. You had a moment of loss of rationale because whatever it is that consumed you. It's things that are completely not in our domain, not in our wheelhouse. But then, at times you're faced with reality, you see, hey, there are such people. I don't even know if you call them people. They come to a point where you can't even call them people. You can't even call animals, because animals have a certain program they follow. But the main point I want to make is not just to tell us how repulsed we are and how despicable this type of behavior is, but it's to really study what can happen to a soul that gets so lost that it's consumed, literally consumed with hatred. So instead of focusing on the people you love, instead of focusing on your family and on your community and building it up, you end up focusing all your energy on that hatred. Your real estate, your mind, your heart. And I don't mean yours, anyone here particularly. I mean to speak about, I'm speaking in the third person. That person gets completely consumed. So besides the consumption, the destruction that comes from that, you're not putting your energy where it should be. How distorted is that? So you end up hurting the people you love most. Not to mention, obviously, the people that you consider to be your enemy. So this is one of the things that we can learn when we look at the events that are happening. Because at the end of the day, everything that happens, even things we don't want, and even things that are tragic, and even things that we would have preferred never happened, are lessons in life. So sometimes we learn a lesson from a role model, from someone who's an exemplary, shining example of what it means to be a real refined person. But sometimes we can learn things from people who behave in a demonic fashion to show us how low a human being can fall and to show us the destructive elements of this cancer called hatred or other such vices. By seeing it, we learned how to look to avoid it. Because we all can be tested. There are all times that you can be provoked. I don't mean to compare it, but just on a very, on an amusing level. You have a thing called road rage. You know, people, someone cuts you off, or you found some other injustice done to you on the road, and you just can't get over it. You have to get even. You have to, even though it's not even rational. Like, what are you fighting over? Someone told me once that they cut someone off. That person followed them for 5 miles until they got off an exit, went into an ATM, and came over and began hitting them. Person cannot get over it, and they needed to get to even. So you start thinking, what is this? What are you fighting for? But that's what happens. Certain buttons are pressed. Maybe it's bringing out repressed anger. Maybe just our inability to be mature enough to overlook certain things. I mean, there are many ways to look at it. You know, a lot of talk has been talked about the shame of the Muslim world. That shame is the worst possible thing in that part of the world. And the shame that was experienced, the collective shame of the fall of the Ottoman Empire, and the feelings of being treated like a third world country that has affected both collectively and individually. I haven't done enough research to say that that is the root of much of this behavior, but it's possible that it's part of it. But even that has to be channeled properly. Because even something that you have a legitimate grievance or a legitimate argument that someone has hurt you should not turn you into a hating person. Should teach you to become strong and figure out how to get justice if that indeed is the case. And we always have to remain open-minded. Maybe you don't have it all figured out. But once it becomes a force inside of you that begins to eat you up, then you lose your own humanity. You lose your own dignity. You lose the divine image in which we were created. And this is true not just about hatred, it's about jealousy, arrogance, different instant gratification desires, anything that takes control of you, like a parasite. You know, today you see those images of videos, certain parasites that enter into the body of a particular insect or animal, and they take over. Literally, they take over the whole nervous system. That's what it's like, a parasite that is eating you up alive. So who's it destroying most? You. In the process, obviously, you can hurt other people as well. So if anyone listening to this is in that type of position where they have that type of hatred inside of them against any individual or against a group, the first thing is look at yourself. Stop pointing fingers, blaming, excuses. Look at yourself. Are you the person you want to be? Do you like what you see? And if the answer is you do like it. You know, they have recordings of some of the attackers with glee calling their families and telling them, I killed this and this and many Jews. So besides the crime itself, the mere fact that the person is celebrating it means they don't even see a problem. They actually think that they did a great deed, great act of a divine act of martyrdom. That's how bad it can get. So here again, we have a wake-up call. Like I've been discussing over the weeks, wake-up call that crystallizes our value system, what we stand for, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, what is hatred, and what is this counterforce, love. You see the images streaming out from the IDF, from the Israeli military, the way they sing together, the way they dance together, the way they send greetings to their families for Shabbat, for the holidays. A certain camaraderie. And you contrast that. Some have pointed out how different demonstrations, the pro-Israel, the pro-Jewish demonstrations versus the anti. You see, there's a different climate. One may be in pain, but you see a unity, you see a love. And the other is about hatred. You can see it on the faces. You can see it on the anger. Now, those that justify it or try to defend it say, yeah, when you've been so oppressed, that's what happens to you. Again, blaming others for your hatred, blaming others for your grievances. So we have before us a tremendous opportunity, both on a microcosm and macrocosm level, to look at ourselves. To look at the better angels within ourselves, but also the possible demons that sometimes consume us. And when we work on ourselves in our own personal way, it has an effect. Today we know in modern physics, every little thing in one place has an effect in another location. The butterfly effect. So there is something we all can do. When you repair even a subtle form of dislike or hatred to another, you're in some way correcting something that affects the vibes, affects the environment, affects the very energy of this world. Because it ends up coming down to energy. Hateful energy is exactly that. It's destructive. It breaks things up, apart. And loving energy unites things. So it's no surprise that the prophet Isaiah, when he talks about the future, he says, there will be no longer evil and no longer destruction. You could also say no longer hatred. Why? Because the world will be filled with divine knowledge as the waters cover the sea. What's the connection? We see many people with knowledge that do the evil things and do destructive things. Divine knowledge, transcendent knowledge. In other words, an awareness that it's not about you, there's something greater that we're here for. Not the arrogance that comes from academia that thinks that they're smarter than others. The humility that comes through wisdom that teaches you about a reality greater than yourself. That's the counterforce to all evil and hatred and destruction. So we have our work cut out for us. That's why you see people are more knowledgeable. If they have no agendas, another side, ulterior motives. Knowledge creates tolerance. The more you understand things, the more you're able to hear different opinions, the more you can contain, the more you can even have a disagreement, but in a civil and loving way. Immature people obviously fight more, will be more divisive. So we're asked to rise and to embrace divine knowledge, understanding your purpose, understanding the purpose of other people in this world, that we're all created by a higher force, by the Creator, and we all are equal in those eyes, and we all have a role, an indispensable role to play. This is what we need to be teaching ourselves and others. And what's the consequence of that? Love, respect, the dignity of life itself. And if you don't respect another, you're not really respecting yourself. You're definitely not respecting God. What's the opposite of that? Hatred. You don't look at the other person like a human being. You depersonalize it, you dehumanize and demoralize, and all that comes with that type of behavior. Each of us can do something in this regard. And that's simply beginning by unconditional, even small acts of goodness and kindness. Reaching out, going out of your comfort zone and showing some extra love, some extra gentleness, some extra kindness. That's how we counter such demonic hatred. So though no one likes devastation or destruction, but when you see it, you realize how powerful hatred is, how much damage it can create. Had Israel not reacted and responded the way they did, some will say, oh, you know what, they would have left Gaza alone, they're innocent civilians. No, they would never have exposed the cancer. There's a cancer here. And now you have to eradicate it. There's an easy solution. If they indeed have regrets or feel that they want to protect their own families, that is Hamas and their supporters, surrender. That's what you do. That's what Germany did at the end of World War II. That's what the Japanese did. You surrender. But that's not happening because the hatred is still there. So the cause is justified in the distorted minds. It's when the Germans realized how much devastation the hatred of the Nazis brought to themselves, when they realized that they have to change their ways, and Germany did change their ways. So frankly, I would prefer to talk only about beautiful things, about love and about kindness. We are talking about that as well. But I could not ignore, because I was looking at the images and I saw, wow, this is what happens. This is what happens when such disease, such forces, negative forces, toxic forces, consume, destroy. And by seeing it, it clarifies and says, this is what we need to do to counter it. And it's not a small matter. This is not a matter of semantics or a matter of diplomacy. It's a matter of a real war over life and death, over good and evil, over light and darkness, and over love and hatred. May we learn the lessons, and may we become stronger in our connection when we see the consequences of the disconnect. And may there be peace, real peace. In Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom. Shalom does not just mean absence of war. Just like love is not just absence of hate. Shalom means complete wholesomeness. It's an entity of its own, a reality of its own. Love is a reality of its own. Yes, it counters hate, but it's not defined by being the absence of hate. It's a whole experience. May we embrace that, filling the world with divine knowledge as the waters cover the sea, eradicating all evil, destruction, hatred, divisiveness, that disease, that cancer, that can be so devastating. And may we channel and harness the energies within us toward a passionate revolution, spiritual revolution, where we will have the diversity, but we'll have the harmony within that diversity. May that happen immediately. May we all see it and experience it in a revealed fashion. Thank you. This has been Simon Jacobson, meaningfullife.com is our website. We could find a very wide variety and array of different materials addressing topics like this and others, all about meaningful life, finding meaning and purpose in life, all in a loving way. And as such, I want to thank you for being there, for listening, for speaking, for sharing. And please keep it up. Please share your thoughts, your comments, your feedback. Please share this with others. And please subscribe to our growing YouTube channel as well as our other offerings at meaningfullife.com. Be blessed.
This program is brought to you by the Meaningful Life Center. Please help us continue our programs. Make even a small contribution at meaningfullife.com/donate.